Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Yasmin Ammer in for Tiziana Deering. Let's start today by going back in time, back about 3 years, to the early months of COVID. For a lot of people, the outdoors felt safer, a way to socially distance and avoid getting sick. In response, cities and towns opened up streets and sidewalks for walking, outdoor dining, and rollerblading. Well, now maybe the public health need for outdoors has lessened, but the want to be outside? That's still alive and well, especially as the weather warms up. So municipalities face a choice. Should they keep their new open spaces open or go back to the way things were? More cars. Here to tell us more, Boston Globe business reporter Diddy Coley. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the line. And you've done a lot of reporting on this. So it all started May 2020. We were still trying to understand what the heck the pandemic was and how to deal with it, if you remember. But a lot of cities closed off roads in urban areas to cars, and all that happened kind of quickly. Can you remind us why they made that decision?
So at that point, it was both a social and an economic necessity. I mean, as you said, folks were really trapped at home. They were often quarantining. They weren't seeing their usual friends, family, and colleagues. So cities decided that, you know, just to open public space as a way to gather and just see other people and honestly not lose your mind a little bit. But in a way, it was also a financial need. A lot of businesses were struggling during that time, restaurants, but also service businesses. And just having more people walking around was really a boon for them. And of course, particularly in neighborhoods like the North End, a lot of the neighborhoods in Boston, having a couple extra tables never really hurt.
Mm. And you've done a recent piece. You wrote a recent piece for The Globe about Moody Street in Waltham. So what did that transformation look like?
So Moody Street is an interesting example because it was one of the first places to shut down to cars early in the pandemic. It was pretty novel in that way. And for the past 3 years, they've shut off about a half mile both ways to traffic, to car traffic, for between 4 and 6 months of the year. And the restaurants have been really happy about that. Moody Street has a ton of diverse businesses, but it also has a lot of service businesses. You're talking about barbershops, boutiques, grocery stores, and they don't tend to benefit as much from being pedestrian only. In fact, they really hate to lose the parking, particularly for their senior and disabled customers. So this year, the whole setup was up for debate. There were several proposals made either to do it as years passed, either to open it to cars fully, to do some kind of hybrid. And eventually yesterday, they decided on a bit of a hybrid situation where it's now open to cars during the week and only open to pedestrians during the weekend.
So this is a tough issue because, as you mentioned, some businesses love it and some businesses really hate it. And is that who's driving the main opposition to keeping the roads open? Like some of those businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. They recently did a survey in town of both businesses and residents, and 90% of people were actually in favor of doing a pedestrian-only zone this summer. Huh. But when I went on Moody Street, you know, to talk to businesses, a number of them who have been there for several years, and particularly in Waltham, a number of them who are immigrant-owned, say that this is severely hurting their business, that forcing folks to park even a couple blocks away really hurts them in the long run.
So now there are two proposals, and they you reported on them in the Waltham Traffic Commission meeting yesterday. Tell us about those dueling ideas, like the what now?
So there was one proposal to essentially keep it exactly how it was, but do a 3-year study to actually measure how it hurts businesses, to measure how you can help traffic congestion in local neighborhoods, and to figure out what people are actually saying on both sides of the aisle. That was from Councillor Jonathan Paz. Then the mayor had also proposed something, which was essentially to make that strip of Moody Street one way for cars from Monday to Thursday, and then to make it fully open to pedestrians from Thursday to Sunday. So that way, you know, you still keep some of the parking. A lot of the businesses that are open at the day benefit, but people can still have outdoor patios and outdoor dining on the weekends when it's really busy. Neither of those actually are ending up happening. Last week, the Traffic Commission had a long meeting, and they decided essentially to do it kind of like an all or nothing. So either it's during the week, fully cars, or during the weekend, fully pedestrians. And that's what they landed on.
Oh, and is this ruling similar to other decisions you've seen recently in other municipalities about open space? Is it an all or nothing approach?
It's interesting because it seems like folks are trying to find compromise. A lot of the time for local residents, in Starlight Square, for example, that's a essentially opening of e-commerce and programming in a municipal parking lot in Central Square in Cambridge. They're still deciding whether to do it at all. So there it's either going to happen or the zoning board is saying we're just getting rid of this entirely. So the debate is really still happening in a lot of places. So it's hard to tell how it's all going to shake out in the end.
And I have to say, the debate is happening in my neighborhood. I live right next to Memorial Street, yes, in Cambridge, Riverbend Park. Oh, my goodness. If you look at the next door debate about that, it gets really fiery. Do you know the latest on that? And there's actually, because there's an interesting debate here. One argument to reopen to cars on Saturday is because they're concerned about elevated traffic and pollution in surrounding residential neighborhoods, and so some of which are classified as environmental justice community. So that's such an interesting argument. It is, you should open it back up to cars,
yeah,
because it's congestion for a lot of surrounding neighborhoods. Like, what do you think about that? Do you think that has any legs?
It's tough because that neighborhood of Cambridge is historically Black. And so the NAACP is also involved. And they say for them, this has caused a lot of traffic congestion. So the question is if there's more cars on your street all the time, then perhaps maybe it is an environmental justice issue. But at the same time, you know, people on the other side of the aisle are saying this is really a scapegoat to just open to cars again, because how can it be an environmental justice issue to have people rollerblading and walking and biking on the street, you know, more of the week? So it's interesting whether or not that's actually the case.
Mm. And I've got to say, despite the fact that I live there, I said the name of the Memorial Drive, not Memorial Street.
Yes.
How embarrassing. Perhaps the most high profile of any case in Boston this year is in the North End, because it impacts, yes, outdoor dining. That has been such a clash between the mayor and businesses in the North End. Could you tell us about that controversy?
Yeah, so the North End controversy actually goes back to last year. For anyone who's ever been in the neighborhood, you know that it's very dense. The sidewalks and the streets are very narrow. And so when you add outdoor dining on public space, it really lessens, you know, the place for people to walk and drive. So last year, Mayor Michelle Wu decided that the neighborhood could still do outdoor dining, but that they would pay a special fee, which was $7,500 over several months. And that caused really a stir. They thought that that was going to help with trash and traffic congestion. It was to appease some of the neighbors who have been complaining. This year, again, technically, the North End is now allowed to bring outdoor dining back, but they have to have adequate sidewalk width, which very few restaurants, if any, have. So essentially, it's taking away outdoor dining for the year and reevaluating it for next year. But the businesses are really unhappy about that going away.
So that was going to be my next question, actually. Like, what can people expect when it comes to outdoor dining in Boston? Like, start with the North End, but just in Boston in general this summer.
In the North, yes. Yeah. In the North End, it's probably going to be few and far between. You're almost only ever going to see it on the restaurants that already have designated private space, where they were allowed to have patios possibly even before the pandemic. But the rest of the city, it's likely that people are going to come out for outdoor dining like they have in years past. Restaurants now have to pay a fee, which is either $199 or $399, depending on whether or not they have a liquor license. But considering the profits that come from having more tables outside, I think the same number of restaurants are going to do it this year as in years past.
So it sounds like the city is trying to formalize and reel in some of the policies for open space that were initially changed quickly, perhaps haphazardly during the pandemic. So how does City Hall hope the new rules will change the way Boston looks and feels and the way people move about the city in your mind?
The way that people have been talking to Public Space about me is that some of the changes that we made were really the silver lining of the pandemic. So there's widespread consensus that you want to keep some of these programs as they were, or at least, you know, some fraction of what they were, because the social and economic benefits are really, you know, really unheard of and unseen before the pandemic. At the same time, no one was giving any of these initiatives pushback in 2020 or 2021 because it was just such an unprecedented time. So I think city officials are really in the boat of having to balance what their constituents want now. But hopefully that'll still mean, you know, we get to hang out a little bit more outdoors than we did before.
Mm. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Diddy Coley, Boston Globe business reporter. We're talking to her about this debate about open space outside versus letting cars through, closing streets. Diddy, let me ask you this. What are you going to be watching for in this space going forward? What are the bigger themes you're going to be looking out for?
I think that there are some municipalities who are trying to do more evidence-based study of the actual effects of public space. I mean, a lot of these benefits and drawbacks are so anecdotal right now because cities weren't really thinking about collecting data on all of this. So now when it happens again this year in Waltham, you know, seeing how many restaurants actually come out for outdoor dining this year, that's really going to help inform what this looks like going forward. So that's what I'm keeping my eye on.
And other pieces that you're working on now, not even necessarily related to this directly?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just waiting for the outdoor dining season to open so that I can actually talk to folks about what that looks like. And in terms of kind of, you know, what else is in the pipeline, I'm thinking about downtown retail, which is, you know, really on everyone's mind. What are we actually going to do to fill up all those storefronts?
No doubt. And we'll be looking out for it. Thank you so much for your reporting. Diddy Coley is a Boston Globe business reporter. Really appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you.